having to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
This man must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius, because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And today, President Trump is going to the funeral of the fallen police officer who was murdered by, I think it was an illegal. And at the same time, Joe Biden is heading to New York, same place, to go ahead and do a fundraiser. $500,000 a plate fundraiser, $100,000 if you want to get a picture with Bill Clinton, Barack Hussein, and Joe Biden. The Democrat Party is just unbelievably corrupt at this point. While New York City is collapsing under the weight of Biden's hundreds of thousands of illegals who get debit cards full of cash and free housing, and while the city cuts civil services, library budgets, and cancels police academies to make ends meet in New York City. And while TikTokers and women are getting bashed in the head and punched in the face randomly by illegals and migrants, at the same time, migrants are actually squatting in people's houses and literally attacking the homeowners that want to go and get them out of there. Joe Biden, Barack Hussein Obama, and Bill Clinton are teaming up for a New York City fundraiser where tickets cost up to $500,000 apiece, and a $100,000 donation gets you a picture with the three presidents by photographer Annie Leibovitz. This is the veritable picture of the modern Democrat Party. Millionaires and billionaires spend lavishly as the city crumbles around them. Wow. It's just incredible, isn't it? I mean, what do you think of that? That's pretty atrocious when you think about what's going on. And of course, that $1,400 tickets or $1,400 debit cards are getting sent. I mean, these illegals are getting U.S. taxpayer dollars, citizens, taxpayer dollars, and they're being given that. And then they're going to be allowed to vote. You know that old saying, if you borrow from Peter to pay Paul, you could always depend on Paul's support. So a picture with Clinton, Biden, and Obama. This guy says, I'd rather have my plumber give me a root canal. Yeah, that's So Donald Trump is to fly to New York City to honor Officer Jonathan Diller. He called the slain NYPD officer's widow personally to facilitate paying off her mortgage alongside Tunnels to Towers. The media doesn't want you to know this. Officer Diller is survived by his wife and their one-year-old child. A candlelight vigil is planned for Wednesday evening in Massapequa. That was probably yesterday. Jonathan was killed by a criminal who's been arrested 21 times by NYPD, including 9 felonies, yet he was released under Governor Kathy Hochul's bail reform. The suspects were believed to be casing a T-Mobile store on Mott Avenue. They were asked to move their vehicle just before shooting him, NYPD Officer Diller. So their child's going to grow up without a father, all because of bail reform and criminal injustice. So shocking report reveals criminal illegals given 7 times more taxpayer-funded assistance than suffering military families. Let's take a listen to this. This is pretty outrageous.
It's as part of a $53 million program, giving the average family of 4 more than $1,400 per month. It's more than the allowance for some deployed troops. Fox News Digital breaking it all down, saying, quote, while an average military family is suffering from a deficit of $1,860 over a period of 9 months, a similarly sized illegal migrant family is being given nearly 7 times more. Joining us off the grid, Fox and Friends weekend co-hosts Will Kane and Pete Hegseth. Good morning to you guys. Will, what do you think about this?
Morning. Good morning, Carly. I think it's incredibly shameful for us as a country. That deficit is reflecting soldiers who are on deployment versus what's given to an illegal immigrant. I'm going to let my friend here, Pete, discuss the military angle of this. But, Pete, I would just say this. It's not as even though we hung out this welcome sign, you know, vacancies across the world. But we have a sign that even says now hiring or giving out free money. There's a saying, you know, cards at the table. If you can't figure out who the mark is, you're the mark. We're the mark. This is embarrassing for America that we are giving out $1,500 a month. How much do they load those cards up with, by the way? Are these illegal immigrants now, you know, targets for theft and crime? I mean, I'm sure those cards are valuable to criminals to steal. But I want to say this real quick, Pete. I saw the Mexican president say this will be America's problem until they send, you know, billions to the South, to Central America, to Mexico to address the root cause problems. I mean, he basically said, I'm going to keep flooding you until you send me money. We're the mark. We're the mark politically. We're the mark locally to deal with the problems. And it's all a reflection of our leadership. The world has looked at us and gone, that's our piggy bank. We can take advantage of them. We can con them. They're the mark.
You're exactly right. You know who's not the piggy bank? Our troops, to your point. They're getting more per month on a card than a guy gets to go to Afghanistan in extra combat pay. In extra combat pay. He gets maybe $250 a month in extra combat pay to go get shot at in some bleep hole country. That's less than someone gets paid on a card to come here illegally. Add that up for a family of 4, and they're doing just fine. When you get deployed, you get maybe a little bit more basic allowance for housing, maybe a little bit more basic allowance for food, your family. But otherwise, you know what you signed up for in the first place. By the way, you want to become legal or you want to come to this country? When I was in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, leading a platoon of men, I think it was 6 or 7 guys who were otherwise here legally, but not citizens, who we helped through the process to become citizens. They earned their way wearing camouflage, making up next to nothing to come here. You're right. We are the fools. We used to be serious about having borders, serving your country, working hard for your money. Now we're giving it away in a way that makes us look exactly like what you said, Will. We're the mark of the world.
A banana republic. That's what we look like. Here we go. Let's take a listen to this.
Debit cards loaded with cash to buy food and baby supplies. And we have first look at how the plan to do it.
Yeah, there's been a firestorm of controversy since word about the program first leaked. Our Henry Rossoff is live at the Roosevelt Hotel, the main processing center for newly arrived migrants, with this exclusive story. Henry.
I was able to learn that the first 10 debit cards will be handed out here at the Roosevelt to newly arrived families. And once this ramps up by next week or so, there'll be about 115, that's 115 of these cards in circulation, serving about 460 migrants. That includes a lot of young children. We did obtain some images of what these cards will look like. You can see them on your screen there. They'll be loaded weekly with about $350 for a family of four with two young children under the age of five. The city says in working with the New Jersey-based vendor called Mokify, the cards will only be able to be used at bodegas and grocery stores and only will be able to use to buy food and baby supplies. This will be very similar to SNAP, also known as food stamps, where you pay with a preloaded card at a store. Critics of the migrant response and of this particular plan have raised concerns about the potential for this to be rife with fraud and waste and abuse. City officials say if it's fully expanded, it will actually save about $600,000 a month and give migrants more flexible food.
Democrats think of this as a way to stimulate the economy. It's just going to cause inflation, because if you have more pressure on supply, it's just going to cause prices to go up. It's another government spending program. The Democrats think that somehow by throwing cash into the society and then people spending it, it's just going to go right back to the store owners and everybody's going to be prosperous and it's going to stimulate the economy. That's how the Democrats see it. They don't see the word inflation as a result of this, where everybody's going to pay, not just in taxes, but they're going to pay at the pump or they're going to pay, you know, at the store when they get their groceries. So, I mean, it's all of these things. So, yeah. Okay, so let's move on here. All right. So New York City, it has begun. New York City begins handing out prepaid debit cards to illegal aliens. $53 million pilot program. Illegals will get 40% more food aid assistance than Americans. Illegals, $12.52 a day. Americans on SNAP, $7.59 a day. New York will spend $15 billion on illegal services. Free shelter, free health care, free mental health care, free legal help, ID cards, free English classes, public education. The $53 million illegal alien pilot program is more than the Department of Veterans Services receives, $21 million, the Office of National and Community Services, $18 million, the Division of Human Rights, that's $25 million, and the city's Cancer Services Program, $19.8 million. The program will provide illegal families of four with two children with up to $350 each week until the end of their stay. Where is this money going to come from? Texas are raised on U.S. citizens. Taxes. Taxes are raised on U.S. citizens. The state borrows the money and has to pay it back later with interest. Take money away from some other social service, often from needy Americans. According to estimates, illegal immigration will cost U.S. taxpayers $150 billion a year, and they couldn't afford $6 billion for a wall. Remember that? Well, money doesn't grow on trees. We don't have $6 billion for a wall. They're spending $150 billion in social aid programs to illegals. Are you kidding me? That is insane. Insane. So we know about Trump's woes with the courts, but you know, Trump's had a great week, right? And he got another appeal in the RICO case. And now information's coming out because of the looming appeal in the Erdogan case. Judge Erdogan, and I always get his name mixed up with Turkey's leader, Erdogan, but Erdogan or something like that. But in any case, they the crux of their case, the whole centralization of their case, of Trump's case, was that the wackadoodle judge, the libtard, that was working on behalf of Letitia James, basically said that Mar-a-Lago is only worth $18 million. Well, go back to 2016, and the Today Show does a feature set on Mar-a-Lago. Let's take a listen.
Donald Trump's home here in Palm Beach is quickly earning the title Winter White House. It's a storied estate steeped in history. Mr. Trump has spent the past 20 Thanksgivings here. But now, as president-elect, everything is different.
The 20-acre estate was originally built by serial heiress Marjorie Meriwether Post. She actually envisioned it as a winter retreat for U.S. presidents. Now, some say it's the most valuable parcel of land anywhere in Florida. Much of the 126-room estate is used by the members-only Mar-a-Lago Club.
Donald Trump's...
So, most valuable parcel of land anywhere in Florida, end quote. Seems a little more than $18 million. It's more like estimated at somewhere in the neighborhood of $500 million to a billion. What does that mean? The club generates more than $25 million in revenue, meaning as a business, it is easily worth $75 to $125 million. The land is worth at least $200 million. The improvements could be worth another $50 million. Altogether, as a trophy asset, it could sell for $500 million to $1 billion, according to good sources. So that's what, you know, and they're saying that, and the reason why that's actually relevant is Jon Stewart, that crybaby talk show host, libtard, who acts like he cares about the firefighters and things like that in New York. He's a weakling. He's a peon, Jon Stewart. He's come out and he did the same thing, only 10 times worse. Right? Everybody does it. But here it is. Jon Stewart is just another double standard liberal with rules that apply to thee, but not for me. Jon Stewart. Okay, here's the title. Found to have overvalued his New York City home by 829% after slamming Trump's civil case as not victimless. All right. So here is the deal. After railing against Trump's civil fraud case, it turns out that Jon Stewart overvalued his home by 829%. People live in overvalued glass houses shouldn't throw stones. But what he did was he said that the house was worth 829% more. But then when he was going to pay taxes, he said it was only worth like a million. So Stewart is, here's the part. Okay, this is the good information here. Trump's neighbor, Jon Stewart, overvalued his New York City home by more than $16 million. More than $16 million he overvalued to his lender, but valued it at around $1 million to the New York City tax collector. Where is Trish when you need justice? You know, we're talking about Letitia James, Trish. Jon Stewart found to have overvalued his New York City home by 829%, but, you know, declaring it worth $16 million when he wanted to go to lenders and get better rates on loans. But then he only said it was worth $1 million to the New York City tax collectors. So property tax would be lower. So Biden won't attend wake for slain New York Police Department officer while fundraising in Manhattan today. Kilmeade says he's going to meet up with President Trump after the wake. Let's take a listen.
At Radio City Music Hall, the campaign is already billing this as the most successful fundraiser in American political history. $25 million is going to be coming in. A picture with Biden and Obama and Clinton is going to cost $100,000. And the event is also going to feature actress Mindy Kaling, Lizzo, and a conversation between the presidents and Stephen Colbert. And it's going to be a good test of the soundproofing inside Radio City, because a huge anti-Israel Free Gaza protest called Flood Manhattan for Gaza is being organized right outside. The people in charge are urging protesters to get there as early as possible today. And this is an issue that weighs heavily on President Biden, who's 38% in a Fox News poll, trails Trump by 5 points. And very importantly, RFK Jr. here is a huge factor, 12%. And in a close race, so are Cornel West and Jill Stein. They have 2% apiece. Perhaps most troubling for the Biden reelect, though, the number one issue voters are listing as the president's greatest accomplishment, 38% are saying nothing. The campaign's whole push lately has been to say, together, we can finish the job for the American people. But there's a sense in this poll that if he's going to finish the job, he's just going to finish doing nothing. Back to you.
It's the most interesting poll ever. I never saw nothing win.
I don't see that poll as being very good for Trump. It's a Fox News poll, and I don't like that poll, because 16% are going to Democrats that aren't Biden. If those Democrats, you know, are not on the ticket, they got Biden winning by 11 points. I mean, that to me doesn't make any sense. And I think that they're fudging and rigging the polls again. And when it comes time for Election Day, you know, one of the things that's going to beat election fraud are polls. Meaning that if the polls showed Trump up 20-plus points, then there's no way that they can commit enough fraud to justify that the polls were wrong by 20 points. It has nothing to do with real numbers, because we know that fraud is going to happen. We know that fraud is going to happen. We just have to figure out ways to contest signature verification, which will be null. And of course, we're dealing with mail-in voter fraud, and this is a real problem. Absolute real problem. Because voter fraud, you know, voter fraud is a real thing. I have this little cheat sheet here. It says France banned mail-in voting in 1975 due to fraud. Mexico banned mail-in voting in 1992 due to fraud. You know who retweeted this, by the way? Elon Musk. France banned mail-in voting in 1975 due to fraud. Mexico banned mail-in voting in 1992 due to fraud. Belgium banned mail-in voting in 2018 due to fraud. Sweden does not permit mail-in voting. Italy does not permit mail-in voting. Ukraine does not permit mail-in voting. Russia does not permit mail-in voting. Japan does not permit mail-in voting. No Middle Eastern country permits mail-in voting. No Latin country permits mail-in voting. Interesting, right? And this came as a response to the fact that they just found like 10,000 votes in Chicago, which was kind of strange in and of itself. You know, that's what this was in response to. Because here it says, breaking, after Chicago election officials mysteriously discovered 10,000 mail-in ballots, the race for Cook County District Attorney is on the verge of flipping. Eileen O'Neill Burke, the tough on crime candidate, probably still probably a liberal, but candidate, was leading by a lot. But then the new ballots look likely to So Eileen Burke, the tough on crime candidate, was leading by a lot, but the new ballots look likely to put the corrupt Democrat in charge. 2,838 ballots of the discovered ballots came from elderly nursing homes. Not suspicious at all. Right? I mean, this is the kind of thing that's going to be happening. So, you know, one of the counters to this is you got to look at registrations. You got to see what kind of jump in registrations occurred because illegals are going to be registered to vote. So when you see a real weird anomaly for registrations, it's going to be the illegal IDs are going to be used as registrations that are going to collect. They're going to result in ballots that are going to be picked up by ballot harvesters, which are then going to be filled out by Democrat operatives, paid Democrat operatives, dropped off using ski masks in a drop box or mailed in and waiting to be counted as needed after the election day results are tallied. That's exactly the fraud. It's simple. I mean, I can rattle it off like an elevator speech. It's very simple, but yet somehow we're closing our eyes and we're allowing this to happen. I mean, this is happening. So I think that the RNC really has to look into these things at this preliminary level and see how they can beat it. One of the ways that you can beat it is the DA needs to get involved and literally look at those ballots that came in last, those ballots that came in late. Those so-called found ballots, 10,000 found ballots, right? Look at just that group, that 10,000 ballots as a sample, okay? And then look up every single one of them and see if the person that is listed as the voter actually sent their ballot in via mail. That would be one way to do it. All right, so there's a new development in the case that Alvin Bragg is bringing to Donald Trump in April. So if it wasn't enough with Fannie Willis and then Letitia James and Judge Erdogan and all these different things, you got Alvin Bragg bringing the case for Stormy. It's a Stormy Daniels case. 2018 letter reemerges from Michael Cohen's attorneys admitting Trump knew nothing about the hush money transaction. These accusations that Cohen had an affair with Stormy Daniels since 2006 make much more sense now. Neither the Trump organization or the Trump campaign was a party to the transaction with Mrs. Clifford, and neither reimbursed Mr. Cohen directly or indirectly. So the bombshell report is: accusations emerged that Michael Cohen was having an affair with Stormy Daniels since 2006 and that the hush money scheme was cooked up by Michael Cohen to extort the Trump organization before the 2016 election. Avenatti, remember him? Shared details of his client Stormy Daniels, whose real name is Stephanie Clifford, case and the fact that her and Michael Cohen were actually having an affair since 2006. So that's according to a pretty good source, Tony Saruga. All right, so Gateway Pundit says, breaking, whistleblower claims Michael Avenatti reportedly revealed Michael Cohen was having an affair with Stormy Daniels since 2006, cooked up hush money scheme to extort Trump before 2016 election. Huh. So this just in, Baltimore port worker claims the Dali cargo ship had a severe electrical problem just days before it crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge. The FSK Bridge is what they're calling it online, FSK. Container Royalty co-administrator Julie Mitchell said the ship was having issues 48 hours before the crash. Those 2 days, they were having serious power outages. They had severe electrical problem. It was total power failure, loss of engine power, everything, she said. Mitchell claims the refrigerated containers tripped breakers on the ship multiple times and mechanics tried fixing the issue. Mitchell said that the power problems are rare on cargo ships like the Dali, and that it should never have left the port until the issue was fixed. An officer on the Dali says the ship went dead and everything went dark. The vessel went dead, no steering power and no electronics. The smell of burned fuel was everywhere in the engine room, and it was pitch black, they said. Huh. Then why are American taxpayers paying for this? According to Biden, doesn't it seem the shipping company should be responsible? I would think so. The government has lost its mind. Our politicians, our grandparents, most will die in the next 15 years. They don't care about the financial burden future generations will have to deal with. So they spend money like there's no tomorrow, because there is no tomorrow for them. So Clandestine writes, so someone in management made the wrong call to allow the ship out. Yeah, probably. Of course, Laura Logan has a whole different story. And it's a little bit scary if you think about it. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal. She's shining a light that this was a terror attack of some sort, a cyber attack. So that's quite interesting. And I posted that over on my Twitter feed. You go to twitter.com/ScottAdamsShow if you want to take in that information. I don't know how credible it is, so I'm not going to really report on it too much. But I wanted you to take a listen to Pete Buttigieg. He's the one that claims that roads are racist.
Dollar estimates yet, but we actually have provisions that allow us to begin releasing funding even while that is being determined. Last I checked, there was about $950 million available, but also a long line of needs and projects behind that. I would go so far as to say likely that we may be turning to Congress in order to help top up those funds.
That was Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg yesterday saying he doesn't know how much it's going to cost to rebuild the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, suggesting Congress will need to approve more money for it. But Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says insurance companies will help cover reconstruction expense. Watch.
My expectation would be that ultimately there'll be insurance payments in part to cover this, but we don't want to allow worrying about where the financing is coming to hold up reconstruction.
Joining me now is Pennsylvania Congressman Dan Muser, a member of the House Financial Services and Small Business Committees. Congressman, good to see you. Thank you so much for being here. So what's your take on this? Is Congress going to need to pony up more money, or is there enough money in the infrastructure package?
Yeah, great to be with you, Maria. Yeah, it was kind of outrageous immediately for Biden to express in this tragedy the idea that he's going to use federal funds to pay for it in entirety. I mean, you know, he doesn't refer to it as the American taxpayer dollars on anything. You know, the first reaction, in fact, the only reaction, just tends to be to spend. Look, this was a tragedy. We all saw it. People lost their lives, and it is a very important port. As you just mentioned a little while ago, a lot of Pennsylvania's coal is shipped out of there, 25%, automobiles, natural gas. So it needs to be corrected. But, you know, this is a Singapore flagship, number one. So what responsibility are they going to have? At least Janet Yellen is thinking a little bit out of the box rather than just spend the taxpayers' money and see what insurance funding that there would be. And we got to get on that. We just can't take the easy route all the time and just try to spend the taxpayers' money. And something else I'll add, on that T&I bill last year, there was $400 billion in excess. I mean, that's why I didn't vote for it. You know, $900 billion was one thing. $1.25 was another, $350 billion extra. And Maryland, by the way, got almost $5 billion in addition to its standard T&I funding. So, you know, they've got the money.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you mentioned all of this, because this is
that point you just heard about this, you know, spending bill, is they already had the money. What are they doing with the money that they already have?
Exactly what I was referring to. I mean, we've been sitting here for 3 years debating all of this spending and all of these packages that this president has signed into law. I spoke yesterday with the former acting transportation secretary, who said we don't need Congress involved. We've already appropriated money, and it's in that infrastructure plan that President Biden signed into law. Watch this.
We don't need a new supplemental for this bridge. We are awash in infrastructure money from the president's infrastructure bill in 2021. Huge amounts of money that Congress has appropriated. We should repurpose and divert some of that money.
I mean, isn't that the reason that the president was spending all of this money, to have it on hand? Now we need it.
That's right. There's no thought, just spend, right? That's their motto. I mean, at least even pull from some.
You know, this reminds me of when the levees broke in Louisiana in Hurricane Katrina. And what was happening is money was going down there to be spent on levees. And then there were grease in their palms and pockets. And basically, there was a whole bunch of fraud in New Orleans. Mayor Nagin at the time wanted to turn it into what he called a chocolate city, which is like a real racist thing that he did. And the levees couldn't even withstand a Category 3 hurricane, and what ultimately turned out to be that they didn't invest in the levees like they promised. They pocketed the cash. That's what they did.
Some of the ridiculous EV expenditures that are planned, right, as well. I mean, billions in EV charger ports and all. But again, Maryland received the money. Actually, it was closer to $7 billion. Pennsylvania received almost $14 billion. And, you know, these funds need to be utilized for modernization purposes, and certainly in repairing of bridges. This is a crisis situation, but it needs a plan, not a knee-jerk spend reaction.
Yeah, I want to get your take on the new Fox News polls that we've been reporting. It shows former President Trump with his big...
By the way, one other thing. I hate to interrupt so much, but here, what he's talking about with the EVs and billions of dollars... Biden spent $7.5 billion to create 500,000 EV chargers, but has built less than 10. So what did the $7.5 billion go to? If it was designed to create 500,000 EV chargers, but has built less than 10. Government money laundering 101, which family member... of which member of Congress got that contract? And of course, you know, a lot of responses to that were talking about, you know, like when Obama did it. Barack Obama awarded Pearson Publishing $350 million to create the Common Core curriculum. After leaving office, a subsidiary of Pearson Publishing gave Obama a $65 million book deal. If this sounds familiar, that's because this is exactly what just happened with, say, FTX. Our elected officials have been stealing money from us and laundering it back to themselves our whole lives. Right? So again, Barack Obama awarded Pearson Publishing $350 million to create the Common Core curriculum. After leaving office, a subsidiary of Pearson Publishing gave Obama a $65 million book deal. You see how that works? And this, you know, is, again, Biden spent $7.5 billion to create 500,000 EV chargers, but they've built less than 10. So who's behind that contract, that failed contract? So let's continue. All right. Sorry for the interruption.
In repairing of bridges. This is a crisis situation, but it needs a plan, not a knee-jerk spend reaction.
Yeah, I want to get your take on the new Fox News polls that we've been reporting. It shows former President Trump with his biggest lead yet against Joe Biden. In a head-to-head match, Trump is up 5 points on Biden nationally, his biggest lead yet on a national one-on-one. Biden's reelection campaign focuses on Pennsylvania. They're opening a headquarters. The campaign is opening a headquarters in the Lehigh Valley, and they've got other offices throughout the state. Congressman, your reaction? Yeah.
Well, you know, I know Lehigh Valley very well, just outside of my district. We got a pretty hot Republican primary taking place there. Look, there's literally huge enthusiasm for President Trump. There's a tremendous amount of Biden buyer's remorse. And people look back from 2019 at the successes of the Trump campaign. And Maria, what's really important to note is the demographics have shifted since 2020. We've actually, Republicans have picked up 200,000 new registrants. Democrats have lost 200,000. So to put it more accurately, there are 400,000 more Republican registered voters than there were in 2020 in 24.
I see.
So that's one thing. But we've got some major initiatives, a lot of them around mail-in ballots. We got an initiative to protect the ballot. I'm on President Trump's leadership team. You know, look, success in 24 runs through Pennsylvania. Hmm. We know that. We are prepared. They're setting up an office. You know what? We've got 67 offices set up, and they're just warming up.
So you think President Trump can win Pennsylvania?
Absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, he's ahead right now.
Yeah.
That is my only goal for 24.
Yeah.
And along with Dave McCormick. And we have other things. We got these other great candidates. Dave McCormick running for U.S. Senate. We got some statewide seats for Treasurer Stacey Garrity, Tim DeFore.
Right.
So we got a lot of things going our way. But we're not taking anything for granted. We're going to do everything we possibly can do to win Pennsylvania.
Congressman, let me get your take on New York for a second, because President Trump will attend the funeral of NYPD officer Jonathan Diller today, who was killed at a traffic stop in Queens by a suspected career criminal with 21 previous arrests, 9 felony charges. The White House is blaming the killing on gun violence. President Biden is also going to be in New York City today, but he's attending a high-dollar fundraiser with Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, and a bunch of celebrities. We are not expecting President Biden to attend the funeral, even though he will be in New York later in the day for this fundraiser. And in the middle of all of this, several women have come forward on TikTok, and they say that they've been punched in the face or punched in the head by strangers while just walking on the street in New York City. I know that you've recently introduced a tough-on-crime bill, the Holding Prosecutors Accountable Act. Tell us about that and what's going on across the country here with these spikes in crime. Now we're worried about getting punched in the face walking around.
Yeah, I just wanted you to hear the last part because we talked about that a little bit earlier today. That's something that's going on. It's trending on social media. And it's absolutely horrific. The Democrats' position on crime. So, Benny Johnson writes this: why are American taxpayers paying for a new bridge in Baltimore? Shouldn't the private company responsible for the destruction of the bridge be made to pay? Taxpayer paid for the first bridge. So, you know, that's a good point. We're going to go ahead and take a call. John from Chicago.
Hi, Scott. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, how many of those Biden voters who got punched in the face in New York City, and I'm betting it's quite a few, will change their vote? It's as if they don't learn until they hit the 2x4 hits them in the head. I do wonder how many will actually change their vote as a result of getting punched in the face. At some point, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, right? So that's my first point. I think that was probably your thought as well. How many people will learn? Because it should be obvious. And that goes to the point in Chicago with the law and order candidates, right? There's a struggle between the guy who says, let's let every black guy out of prison, and the white lady who's semi-willing to enforce the law. And the vote is apparently still close. Well, unless there's fraud. So that's my first reaction to what you said. The second thing is regarding the bridge. And I read in Zero Hedge that bridge cost about $110 million to build back in the 70s. Okay?
Yeah, and by the way, taxpayers paid for the bridge. Foreign corporation destroys the bridge, and now taxpayers have to pay for the new bridge.
Right. Well, we'll see who, you know, the harbor masters are from the Baltimore port. And I am betting the Baltimore Port Authority is larded up with DEI, or should we say DIE, diversity, inclusion, and equity.
Oh, yeah.
So who were those harbor masters? Because it may have been that the story we're hearing, you know, there's, who knows? It's like a plane crash. You've got to investigate it. It can be complicated. I don't know the final story I don't think most of us do, but or necessarily we may be right. It may have been a power shutoff. It may have been what Laura Logan suggests, a terrorism incident, although I highly doubt it. I think it's probably plain incompetence. So was the harbor master a DEI or DIE guy? I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's the guy who screwed it up and ran the ship aground, number one. Number two, if it is a matter of maybe the bridge, does this bridge raise? Is it a drawbridge? I guess not. I don't know how you hit a bridge. If the cargo is below a certain level, you know, is it impossible to hit a bridge? I don't know. But you know, we ought to look at that. Is there a harbor master issue? Is it a Baltimore Port Authority issue? In which case, they won't be liable. But you're right. There may be that the other guy should be liable. The other issue is, was this built with state funds or federal funds in the 70s? Because if you look at it according to inflation, at least government's official inflation numbers, a $110 million bridge should be maybe $700 or $800 million, if that, in today's dollars. And I think I would bet my bottom dollar that it is not going to be that little. It's going to be way
and,
more.
And it took 5 to 6 years to build.
In the 70s it did? Or,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yep, in the 70s.
Well,
say it would probably take longer to build today.
And it'll cost way more, and it'll be down the memory hole, not even spoken about. That goes to that guy, remember the guy you had playing there, I think the congressman, who was talking about, hey, there's already money there. It'll be completely ignored, as will the eventual cost overruns, which will probably run into the $5 to $10 billion, because it'll be new, it'll be better, it'll be this, and yet it'll be multiple times more. But multiply this times how many bridges do we have like this to rebuild around the country when they talk about the state of failing bridges? And you listen to Buttigieg, and they use this therapeutic, this yuppie language. We've talked about this before. But when they use this, well, let's unpack this, right? All that kind of language.
Yeah.
Just is so irritating. Well, we've already got funds that we can top off. You have to top it off. That's another one of their little boy phrases they use. And there's going to be no recompense on this. And it's similar to the first one of the earlier stories you played with the illegal aliens. They say, well, they're getting more than American military families do, $1,400 a month for a family of four. But we've seen the videos. None of these key people are families. They're all single male. And how much do you want to bet that somehow they'll all end up with families of four to max out their benefits with, again, no fiscal oversight of any of this, so that we'll spend all this money? And then they say family. Why? Because American idiots say, oh, it's a family. We have a moral responsibility. No, we have no responsibility. If someone breaks into your house, you have the right to shoot them. I mean, literally. Yeah. I mean, this goes to this guy, this AMLO guy, talking about the board. Well, you have to give us $20 billion or the flow will continue.
Oh, the AMLO,
not if
yeah.
we don't let it.
Obrador, Lopez Obrador.
Obrador.
Yeah, he's exactly. He's bossing America around like he's the kingpin.
Well, why do we not use, in this case, look, we're being invaded. That's the one of the few things the federal government is responsible for, to protect us against invasion, to protect our borders. If we put our military down there and said, you are taking these people back, what you do with them, I don't know. You know, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. And we're going to push you back across the border. And if we have to have a little tete-a-tete with the Mexican army, then you do it. Because I got to tell you, if we do, it'll stop real quick. And then you don't have to kill anybody or hurt anybody anymore. You really could do this. But they're going to throw up our hands in you know, fetal positions. Say, well, we can't do anything because they're hit. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
You can push them back. You can do what you can. You can do DNA testing to determine where they're likely to be from, ship them back, and then where they go from there is their problem. And those governments will handle them much more forcefully than we will. And the problem will be handled. Why didn't it occur before? Because people thought we had a border enforcement policy. And when you enforce your borders like has been done for millennia, people don't violate them. We're just not willing to do it.
Right.
So sorry to go far afield, but I think it's all of a piece. There's no fiscal discipline. There's no resolution to defend our borders. And you know it's just going to be a disaster. So what happens in November, I don't know. But this is bad.
Right. No, we got to get rid of mail-in balloting. It's we're like the only country that's doing it. You know, like,
it's all globalist
countries that are doing it. It's like Canada and America.
Yeah. Well, Scott, you remember they tell us, well, the Europeans all have socialist health care to justify why we should have socialist health care. It's always, well, the Europeans. What do the Europeans do with wind farms? Well, the Europeans are into it. The Danish are doing it. The Dutch. We've got to do it. Well, if the Europeans don't have mail-in balloting, can we talk about that too?
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Hey, well, thanks for calling in today.
Thanks, Scott. Have a great weekend.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
All right, folks. Well, and let's see. I got a couple of things for you. And that is, Emma Robinson writes this. She says, arrested, Steve Baker. On trial, Donald Trump. Convicted, Steve Bannon. Being disbarred, John Eastman and Jeff Clark. Being sued, Kerry Lake. In jail, Peter Navarro. Bankrupted, Rudy Giuliani. Still think you're voting the Biden regime out of power in November? You know, food for thought, right? Where, it says here, where's the January 6th tapes? Where's Jeffrey Epstein's client list? Where's Seth Rich's laptop? Where's the Nashville shooter's diary? Where's Hunter Biden's laptop? Who planted the pipe bombs on January 5th? Who leaked the Supreme Court's Dobbs opinion? The FBI is hiding it all. Wow. All right, we can take a call. Caller, you're on the air.
Well, I wasn't going to drink today, but I've changed my mind after just listening to you.
All right.
My big question is on this whole bridge debacle there. I mean, they've got us chasing our tails, you know, the prime example of all the things you just read off. And I think that's always their, you know, motive is to just keep the American people's minds spinning in circles while their hands are in the cookie jar. You know, it's great, great. Your last caller brought up a lot of great points. I mean, these port authority things that we keep putting into all our different cities and stuff, we are losing our sovereignty because our local sheriffs and police officers have no jurisdiction in those properties. They gate you right out. If anything happens where you say your car gets stolen and then it gets into one of those port authorities, you have to deal with a different law enforcement entity, which is usually not very responsive or cooperative to the American citizen in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing that here in Utah too. They're going to try to build an inland port here. Well, I think they are doing it. It's huge. It's like 16,000 acres that they're going to be building here. And it's not a good thing because you lose your sovereignty and your local liberties that you would normally have in mm-hmm. these properties. But one of the things I'm questioning, no one seems to, I called the Port Authority, I called the mayor's office, Baltimore mayor's office yesterday, and I'm kind of inquiring about, you know, as an independent reporter and a concerned citizen, I'm just wondering if those people working on the bridge that now they're dead, were they even legal to work in the United States? Did they have
actually? Yeah, they reported that like one was from Guatemala and the other was from somewhere else. It's they were like Latinos, Hispanics. I don't know if they were legal or not.
I don't either. And I'm trying to, and I tried calling a port authority, and they kind of was really, you know, kind of pushing under the carpet there.
Yeah,
you know, and so this is what's going on.
We're
in every
running out
city.
Of time, but
take care.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling in today. All right.
Thank you for everything you do, my friend.
All right. Thank you. All right. All right, folks. We just have just a tiny bit of time left. U.S. wage growth has slowed sharply over the past year and is getting closer to returning to its pre-pandemic level per Indeed. The wage tracker showed the salaries were up 3.3% in February compared with 1 year ago. This is a drop from January 2022 when wages were up 9.3. So that means it's not keeping up with inflation. You're losing more money. Wages are not covering inflation, especially when you don't use the CPI. inflation for real life items Americans are buying are much higher. This explains our credit debt levels hitting record after record. That's true. That's absolutely true. In September, Zero Hedge pointed out that the U.S. national debt rose by $1 trillion in just 3 months, and things haven't improved. The Congressional Budget Office recently warned that the debt will continue to increase, slowing growth and posing a significant risk to the future of the U.S. economy. Wow, interest payments alone are already over $1 trillion per year. Thank you, Joe Biden. We need Trump in office, folks. Well, be sure to check out MAGAPAC.org. Find out how you can advance America First policies by making America great again. Also, make a donation if you'd like to keep the Scott Adams Show commercial free over at MAGAPAC.org. Use Red State as your promo code over at MyPillar.com. With that, grab a shovel, dig a hole a little deeper. Just to bury my kids right up to there.